Oh, I get excited thinking about it. He loved me so much, he changed forms and he came and redeemed me. I am a treasure unto him. I'm a rare treasure. He's going to spend forever with me. You're a treasure. And when I give my life to see that heaven is filled with treasures, he moves on my behalf. My motives become eternal. His motives become temporary. He said, seek the kingdom first. Don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop giving. And I'll see to it that everything the Gentiles seek after will be added unto you. But please don't stop praying.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Devil said, I'll break you, so I'll give more. He said, I'll fill your time up so much you won't take time to probably get up at 4. He said, I'm going to busy you up with so much prosperity you won't have time to fast. I said, yes, I will. I'll fast while I'm working. A friend of mine fasted 30 days and pulled boards in a mill. Old Bernard's skin drew up so much he couldn't even close his mouth. He looked like walking death. Arms got about that big around. Expended a lot of energy pulling boards. The hunger on the inside was stronger than the hunger on the outside. And my friend, you start praying and God's love will flow to you and build you up to a place where he can flow through you. For always remember, although we're going to see thousands of people born again, there'll be a time when the whole walls will be lined up with people in wheelchairs and little kids that are sick and twisted up. And God loves you as much as them twisted kids, and he loves you as much as all them people in a wheelchair, and loves you as much as all them people being born again. That's why you must let God's love flow to you and deal with the torment and the fears and the worries through relationship of fasting and giving and praying until you reach that impasse and whoop it. And not just God's love flowing to you until it begins to flow through you. Because when he moves you in between hell and this city which is trying to get there, you will attract powers and principalities from around the world. And they will be bent on your destruction. But my friend, if you've come to a place because his love is flowing to you, that you have eradicated fears and worries and torments, then you'll have that foundation of peace, and the devil can pour 17 realms of hell on you and it will not deter you from your objective, because you cannot be stopped. You're his worst problem. You're unmanageable because you won't take care. Whew. I could get excited about this, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Now, you know how to humble yourself. In fact, this whole chapter is denoted to humbling yourself. Look at that 13th verse again, or 11, I mean. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted. Now let's look at humbling ourselves again. The 25th and 26th verse is our instructions for humbling ourselves. And we're going to get down through this verse for verse in the whole chapter if we keep on it. 25th, 26th verses are our instructions for humbling ourselves. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned unto them and said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciplined follower. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, set not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it, and all that behold him begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When he said, humble yourself, then these are the instructions for humbling yourself. Any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sister and his own life also cannot be my disciple. See, this is humbling yourself. How many of you would camp on a chapter if this chapter offered you the information to receive enough building materials to finish your life in God, no matter what He has called you to? For which of you intending to build a tower sets not down first in what? Whether He has sufficient to finish it. I mean, we know He's not talking about building a natural tower. He's just using that for an illustration. See, He's talking about you and I coming to Jesus and humbling ourselves. He said, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and brother and mother and sister, it's an act of humility. He said, and pick up his cross and follow me, for which of you intending to build a tower? Now that tower is talking about our life. It's talking about what God has called us to do for Him in the kingdom. And this chapter is offering you the information to make sure that you have enough building materials to finish your tower. He says, and the reason you count the cost is because everybody that's seen you, if you fall up short, they'll mock you and say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So He said, you need to count the cost. You need to know what it is that you need to do to have enough building materials. Many of you are called to many wonderful things. Many of you may be keys to the kingdom. You might be a major key that God could finally use to bring a revival to this city where 3,000 or 4,000 people are born again a week. Many of you called to preach. Many of you called to miracles. I mean, miracle ministries. Many of you called to teaching ministries that knock the hind leg right off of a dog. See, and this is what He's talking about. Which of you intending to build a tower won't sit down and count the cost? And what He's saying is this. If any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his own life, cannot be my disciple. What He's saying is this. The counting of the cost is whether or not you are going to choose Jesus over everything that exists. Because if you do not, you will not have enough to finish your tower because you have not humbled yourself and He cannot exist. Exalt you. Let's talk about this humility. Do you say,
I choose Jesus?
Do you? Oh, I chose Him. He was a supplement to my life. He helped me get through this life. He helped me accomplish the name I need to accomplish. He helped me cope with life. He helped me. The ever-present help in the time of need, you know. Yes, I chose Him to that degree. But I'm choosing Him more now. I don't want Him to just be a supplement to my life. I want to be a conqueror. And He's guaranteeing me in this chapter that I could have enough building materials to finish my tower if I humble myself. And He said the act of humility is this. If any can machikualemakwichu. If any man comes to me and hates not his father, his mother, his wife, his brethren, and his sister. Did you notice how He chose the things that is nearest to us in this life? Let me tell you how it is when it gets to heaven. He said you'll be like the angels in one sense, that you neither marry or you're given in marriage. Although you recognize your past life and your husband and your wife and your children, it's a whole nother sense of completeness and no sense of lack in heaven. Your wife is still your wife in times past, but she becomes a sister. A sister. There's a closeness that you'll never lose, but she's a sister. But notice in this life that we choose, He chose the things that was closest to us when He named mother and brother and sister and father and wife. Then He went on to add our own life onto it, to hate my own life. And He says, if you don't pick your cross up and follow me, you can't be my disciplined follower. And everybody knows what happens on the cross. You know, that's where you crucified. That was where the old man died, at the cross. So when He says, hate your old life also, in picking His cross up, He was talking about that you, in following Jesus, was expected to crucify the old man and his wants and all his desires on the cross in an act of humility after you followed after Jesus. And this was part of the qualification for having enough building materials to finish your tower. But the thing I could not get past, I said, Jesus, you says, any man comes to me and hates not my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters. Said, you picked all the things that was closest to a man in this life. What kind of hate are you talking about? It can't be the violent hate that carries animosity. That you did something to me. I hate your guts. We know Jesus can't be talking about that, and He's not. But He's talking about an emotion that's ever been as powerful. Oh, you listen to me. He says, any man comes to me and hate not his father and his mother and his brother and his sister and his family, his own life. You know what He's talking about? That any man comes to me and does not violently, vehemently, emphatically choose me. Over who? Over my family and my wife and my father and my mother and my brother. Yes. And if you love them, you will choose him. Because if you do not, you will not have enough building materials to finish your tower. And in that tower is the promise of your family. He's not telling you that you will lose them. He's telling you that you will gain them because you have chosen Him. Then what's the hate? Are you ready for this? Anymore, it seems like pearl that I can't even sit down, and there's a room inside that it's almost like all that's required is to get quiet for a moment. And He turns that the light on in that room, and it's where I go in to visit Him. You know, and I go in there, and that's when I turn on, and that's where His voice is. And it seems like I cannot even sit down anymore and just bask in His presence for a moment, that He turns the light on and He says, Roberson, do you know this? And do you know this? And do you know this? And He's been talking to me like this for 6 months. Oh, I heard Him before, but not like now. And He's been talking to me since I came into that incredible foundation of peace about 6 or 7 months ago that I had never to this time walked in before. Because if you'd have said 5 years ago, you walking in peace, Brother Robeson? I said, yeah, peace of God that passes all understanding. Because I had nothing to compare it to. See, peace is relative, you know. Oh, I'm in peace, yeah. What are you comparing it to? Jesus said, my peace I give you. He says, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. There's no troubling of heart in that room. It is the most incredible thing. It's the love of God, because it's a preparation for things to come. It's wonderful. I could tell you about it all night, but I'm going to have to bring you to the water hole and make you drink. You know. And now I can say, yes, I was walking in a measure of peace, but not like now. Glory to God. And I just sat down, and he must live in a castle of peace, you know. And when I counsel people that's full of troubles, you know, I just feel like going, where's the light switch? Because he told me one day, he says, help them, they're little babies, help them. He says, but as long as they're looking for the answer on the outside, he says, you know they don't have it, because the answer's on the inside. I says, yeah, I know that now. Glory. Whoa. He says, minister to them, they can't hear me if I run over them with a bulldozer. You tell them, look at you, listen to you. And you tell them, you know, you tell them, listen, your problems are irrelevant. All of you are going to face obstacles that are horrible. So we're going to bring revival. If you're going to bring it, the devil's going to try to checkmate you every foot of the way, and you're going to face obstacles that's absolutely horrible and at times life-threatening. I've been there. But let me tell you this. If you're going to have revival, you might as well look at the end. And everything that comes against you, just do like Paul said, I take pleasures in necessities and perplexities because it's just another obstacle in the way. Get it out of the way.
Well, I don't have enough money.
Just another obstacle. My dog bites me every time. It's just another one.
I don't have time to pray. I'm working two jobs that are consuming 14 hours a day. Just another obstacle.
They're the same common temptations, testings, and trials that stopped everybody else who quit seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness. So it seems like it just sat down, that little light switch comes on, He starts talking. He says, you want to know what I mean here? Any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his brother and his sister. He says, look, I asked you to choose me, did I not? I said, yes, sir. He said, look, you could do for your family until you conquered the world. He said, you could be a single world ruler and possess all the wealth of the world. He said, you could give your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters and your wife and your old life. He said, you could give it the wealth of Solomon and set it up as king, set them up as king and give them the utmost desires of their heart, whatever they could ever dream of. And he says, in comparison to what I have prepared for those that love me, he said, all that you could give them would appear as hate, hate, if you caused them to lose their reward by not choosing me. He says, it would all look like you hated them. He says, if you did not choose me and lead them into the reward that I have prepared for them in the eternities. Because all you could do on this earth for them, I mean, when it was over, even if they owned the whole world and the wealth of Solomon, it would appear that you hated them if they lose their reward in heaven. So he says, if any man comes to me and does not hate his mother and his brother and his sister and his father and chews me violently and vehemently and pick his cross up and hate his old life because all that you could conquer, accomplish, and gather to yourself, he said, would appear as though you hated yourself in the end if you lose your reward. He said, pick your cross up. Follow me. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower, my God, you'd set down, calculate inflation right down to the last nail. I'm going to finish this tower. He said, that's what you're doing when you're choosing me with everything in me. You're accounting inflation right down to the end. And I'll guarantee you exaltation. Humble yourself. I'll exalt you. I will make sure that you have enough to finish your tower. I might not be your hero here, but if you walk with us, we'll be your hero in heaven. Because if I set you up here and lie to you here, then I might as well have hated you. As he said, any man comes to me and hate not, because in comparison, the best I can do for you in this life would look like hate when you missed your reward over there. Well, he turned to that bunch and says, any man comes to me. Then he went on to conclude it. Says, likewise you who do not forsake all that you have and become my disciple. Ah, we better read it. We're not in that big a hurry. Let's read it. You understanding it better this round?
Amen.
All right. We'll hit it three or four more times. Oh, my. All right, looking again then at the 26th verse. If any man comes to me and hates not his father, if you don't choose Jesus, you know, then you will have hated him. Hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sets not down and counts the cost, whether he has finished it or sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he's laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold him begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, set not down first and consulteth whether he with 10,000 can meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassage and desires conditions of peace. Now see the word, so likewise, 33. So likewise, that's comparative word. Like is comparing you like something or someone he has already said, and wise means you better be wise enough to conform to it. So he's saying, so likewise. So he's comparing you to number one, the man that did not have enough to finish his tower. And number two, to the man that did not have counsel available to him to know whether to go against a man with 20,000, with his 10. He had no counsel available to know whether to send ambassadors of peace or to go after him in war. He said, so you're like either one of these men. The one doesn't have enough building materials and the other does not have enough counsel to know what to do. He said, you're like both of these. Well, what makes you like both of these men? So likewise you, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. Now, isn't that sounding like the 26th verse? If any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, so likewise whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Well, who? Like who? Like the man that did not have enough to finish his tower. Like the man that had no counsel available. You're like those two if you do not choose Jesus. Violently, vehemently, emphatically, with everything in you. For the next verse says, salt is good, but if salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Simply meaning, if you take salt flavor out of salt, where are you going to go to season it again? He says, it didn't even fit for the dunghill. So if you take the salty flavor out of salt, then where are you going to go to season salt back? And what he's saying is this, it's no big thing to choose Jesus. Because outside of Jesus in this entire universe, where are you going to go to replace what He is in your life? Salt's good. Salt loses its flavor. What are you going to season it back with? He's not asking you to fail. He's asking you to succeed. Outside of Jesus, where are you going to go to replace what He is in your life? So likewise you. If you do not from your hearts, you're like who? The man that didn't have enough to finish his tower. The man that didn't have the counsel available. You're like both of them. If you do not choose Jesus, because outside of Him, where are you going to go to replace what He is in your life? Where are you going to go to get that kind of building material? No place. For there's only one way He guarantees you exaltation, and that's to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and that is to choose Jesus. And to choose Him, of course, is to choose His Word. To choose His Word is to choose Him. I remember my first stands off, and I'll close. When I found out that Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, I'd been tricked a lot of years, you know. Drew a line. I said, look, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Because I have chosen Jesus. I have chosen His Word. In fact, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I have chosen Jesus. I have chosen the Word, and I drew a line. I says,
Because before I didn't know how to sell out, but now I do, to choose the words, to choose Jesus. Himself has bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and you listen to me, good devil. Because I'm going to pull that scripture out, and I'm going to put my feet on that rock of doing his sayings, and I am violently, vehemently, emphatically going to choose Jesus. So, K-Rat, take your best shot. Because they'll find me standing on this rock when Jesus comes back. Because one of us is going to give, and it's not going to be me. I don't care how much fasting and praying and giving it takes. I'm not moving off the rock. Because I've chosen Jesus, and there's only one way exaltation comes. By humbling yourself. And choosing Jesus. And to choose Jesus is to choose His Word. I know what God's will is for this city. He's told me. I choose revival. I do not care what exists between us and revival. I choose it. Everything that gets in the way is nothing more than an obstacle that needs removed. I choose Jesus. Boy, you're quiet tonight. You're all looking at me like you want me to say more. I'm teaching entirely different now. I have a series that I've taught in revival for years that I could give you. This is the in-between stuff. And I say that because I'm teaching totally by the flow of the Holy Spirit, meaning when I hear you pulling, I feel it, I go on. When you stop, I'll stop. If I feel you pulling and not understanding, I'll go over it 15 times. So I'm moving in the Spirit different than I ever have before. I really don't care. Isn't this wonderful? Amen. How many of you choose Jesus?
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Donig anikoiski da bodem metio di eskola saha. Shula la harasi hadi metio ka. Me asquilete. Yes, for count it joy. When you fall into temptations, testings. For you may know this. When your faith is put on trial, it will work patience. And patience will work these things in your life that you may become mature, entire, and lacking nothing. So count it all joy and place your feet solid on the rock. Let nothing depart out of your mouth that isn't faith talk. For you must come to Him believing that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So stand fast in the liberty wherewith I have made you free. And continue to do those things in my Spirit that will produce. You'll see. For when my joy and my peace is sustaining you through everything that will come, you'll see in your life I'll leave no good thing undone. You shall eat from the horn of plenty, and you'll know me well in a time of trouble. For I am the Lord your God that supplies all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Therefore, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Flow in my mind and understand the things that I would work, the things that I desire to be had. And you will see, revival will come. It'll come soon. You will see. This revival will come, and with it in the process, you will be made free. Hallelujah. Moto kerasia. Kendo sua. Just stay in His presence another moment. Chundi hade Cristo. Mi antu kraske deci dovremo kerasto eci. Tunde kerasto hakerasa. Yes. Yes. Yo kele namarika deske deci inda makala. Kinde skare tinde tetestidi tu ramasika. Hrindo reto de kerasto kerasto de matrako eskneci. Montis que la mojosque. Módulas e harem recordas. Tu le huremas su queras queras e la casa. I desire to move for you. Untie my hands that I may flow through your life. To bring things to you, for as any good father, I desire to give you those keys that unlock those doors, that within your heart you'll have peace. You'll not know what it is to want anymore. That your fellowship and supplication will be of such with me that long before the victory arrives at your doorstep inside, you will have been made free. For know this, in the world you will have persecutions and tribulations will always come your way. But I've overcome and I've placed peace within you. Oh, I desire to fellowship with you. Let me have my way, for I'll dominate you in realms of authority that you never knew to exist. For peace, peace, peace is the order of every day. It releases me to cause the abundant blessings to flow your way. So walk with me. Be a child. Be of those who have been set free. For it is your Father's good pleasure, my little ones, to open these doors, to give you the keys to the kingdom. Stand up and walk my way, saith the Spirit of grace. For I've made you 10 foot tall in my spirit. You need not fear. You need not live in distresses and perplexities. Oh, for my peace, the peace that surpasses understanding, is the domain that I would have you reign. It is the place that I'd have you conquer. It is the labor that I'd have you to strive for. For strive, labor, to enter into my rest. For you have yet, my children, to taste my best. For there's a place that you can fly free and soar with the eagles. It's in me. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad and count it all joy. For the victory has been delivered 2,000 years ago, my children. It is yours. It is had. Oh, that is good. That is so good. That is good. Anybody else in here feel a whole lot of peace? Huh? Deep makwa? Huh? Akimas kerabeturato. Hoshivu bakativ la karatarakrati meske. Monchindivola suvira karasa. Yes. 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 Okay, I can see that. For as you strive and as you labor to enter into this rest, testimony services will be extremely blessed. For you will share things that have never been heard before. For I have yet to cause you to understand the kind of blessings that I have prepared for you since afore. So, yes, testimonies will come forth of exceeding joy. Those testimonies will be of the kind, saith the Spirit of Grace, of the treasury, the kind that'll fill the lofty high place, my dwelling place. For testimonies will come in from your relatives around the world that they do not serve under the Prince of Darkness anymore, that they have come through my door. For you will esteem the treasures of heaven more than life itself. And you will see it'll be the power of my anointing will take you off the shelf. For you'll be a warrior of the highest degree. For you'll cause things to happen in my spirit. You'll release me with authority. And through you, I'll set people free. So prepare yourself, children, with the armor of the day. Enter into warfare and prepare yourself to stay. And be of such who burns the bridge behind and says, I'm in it for the duration. I'm in it for all time. For I'll contend until your glory fills this place. Oh, for, O Lord, I desire to see your will manifested. Yusukidasa. And it shall take place. Michalakalasa. I can remember when I used my faith to believe for things, which I still do. I love them. But it didn't bring the quenching of something that has consumed me. And it's only been in the last 6 months that I have the contentment that is beginning to satisfy a craving that I had since God knows when. Like Jesus said, is my meat is to do the will of Him who has sent me. And I'm going to tell you now, I don't care what you achieve in this life, it won't quench the thirst. If you have a business and you're called to helps and prayer and making a lot of money for the gospel, you may have an ability to make a lot of money, but it won't quench until your money is laying treasures up in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not worth one restless night on your bed. You know what it means to lay back and close your eyes full of peace and contentment and know you gave the devil hell that day. You know, there's a wave of glory about ready to come through here, and it's a deep-seated, deep...